Now playing in select markets.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, we're going to talk about a unique science program in Hillsborough County that's being developed by a group of juniors in Hillsborough County, junior high school students. And then later, we're going to talk with one of the Parkland students who's in town tomorrow. And then later on, we're going to hear some of the highlights from that congressional testimony yesterday by the FBI agent who's been the subject of so many conspiracy theories. We're going to hear Peter Strzok, part of his testimony from yesterday in Washington, D.C. But first up today, Aryan Sharma is a junior at King High School in the IB program. He started a club called Catalyst, which is dedicated to showing and explaining innovations and inventions in science and technology to middle school students. And he's brought several of his classmates with him to talk about Catalyst. And Aryan, welcome to WMNF. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us, Rob.
So you're a junior.
Yes.
All right. So tell us about Catalyst. What is Catalyst?
Right. So before I get into like what Catalyst is, I want to talk about what like our mission is. So on a macro scale, innovation and invention is very important for our society for a variety of reasons. You know, it improves quality of life and many other things. And in order for our society to get better, we need more innovation. And one way to do this is to get more people interested in the fields of science and technology. So that's where our club really does come in. So what our club focuses on is essentially we go to like middle schools and other venues where there are kids. And what we try to do is we present to them like innovation and we'll explain the basic theory behind it. And then in the end, we always have a hands-on activity. So what we hope to do with this is essentially make science more accessible to kids. And we think that making it more accessible essentially will make kids more interested to it and hopefully will achieve our end goal.
And when you say innovation, are you talking about new inventions or is it much broader than that?
It's actually very broad. So inventions is one part of it, right? So we talk about things, for example, you mentioned Elon Musk's Hyperloop, but we go into other concepts, sometimes even basic engineering principles. But yeah, we cover everything, medical, math, many different topics.
All right. And with you in the studios with us are Nusheen Iman. And Nusheen, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And John Karthaka is here.
Yes, sir.
And Ansh Bhatt is here, too. And welcome all. Do you all go to the King IB program in Hillsborough County?
Yes.
All interested in science?
Yes, of course.
And Nusheen, how did you get involved in this?
I got involved in this club because I'm so interested in science, math, technology, engineering, and these are all parts of STEM, correct? So I really wanted to join this club because it provided opportunities for being involved in these different aspects. It gave me the chance to improve my public speaking and the chance to reach out to people, all kinds of people, and be able to share my knowledge, share my experiences, and just share like my dream, you know. And it's just amazing being able to like meet all these people, being able to inspire them. It really is. It's amazing.
And John, do you want to be a scientist when you go to college, after you go to college?
Yeah, actually, I'm really focused into becoming a cardiac surgeon. So the STEM field is literally down the lane for that. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that I focus in this.
Have you targeted a college? Do you know where you'd like to go to school?
I have.
As an undergrad?
Yeah, I have like five schools that I'm really interested in. My top two are like Duke and Hopkins. So, yeah.
Two great schools.
Yep.
Yeah. And Ansh, how about you? How did you get involved in this?
So, what I saw was that while we did teach science in the classroom as like a curriculum basis, what we didn't see was any application to the real world, and we didn't teach like STEM critical thinking. And I thought that if students wanted to become excited about science, they would need to know how this like stuff that they're learning in the classroom would have to be applied to the real world, and then how going forward they can think critically about these science, technology, engineering, and math subjects in order to lead to innovation, which is the main focus of the club.
Mm-hmm. So, Aryan, let me get back to you. Do you read science magazines, or do you, you know, how did you get so interested in this topic yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, right, so as like a middle schooler, I mean, I'd have vivid memories of being able, I subscribed to many of these science magazines, yeah, and I did get, I would subscribe to them, and I would get like them monthly, and I would be very interested by it. And in fact, in middle school itself, I went to Terrace Community Middle School, and I would be involved in the STEM clubs there too. But what the issue I saw with these STEM clubs was that, like, they're good, but the issue would be whether people who are only interested in STEM would join them. However, people who were not already interested would not join these clubs. So what Catalyst hopes to do is when we go to, like, you know, for example, after-school host programs, We kind of like go after a whole wide array of students. So even students who aren't necessarily interested in STEM, and the hope is to try to get them inspired. So yeah, I mean, yeah, so yeah, to answer your question, yes, I do.
Will you take demonstrations around? Will you take robots around? Or what would you do, you know, for instance, if you were to take your group Catalyst to a nearby middle school, what would you do?
Right, so I'll give an example. So recently we did a presentation on something called liquid armor. So liquid armor is a new type of body armor and uses a concept called non-Newtonian fluids. Now, to most people, that's a very complex sounding word. And in fact, to middle schoolers, it's also very intimidating sounding. But like what we did was a concept that they're familiar with, something they're familiar with is oobleck. It's a kind of a slime. So we brought that into them and we showed how that actually protected. So we brought an egg, right? And we put the egg inside oobleck and we dropped it. And we showed how the egg was protected by it. So by showing that, something they were familiar with, we essentially were able to show how non-Newtonian fluids work. And we kind of connected, like what Ansh was saying, we connected the theory that's taught in schools, but we also showed the real-life practical application.
Incredible. So, Nisheen, so part of the reason you're here is that you're looking for students at other high schools, and you're looking for maybe teachers at other high schools, maybe even yes. some parents, and maybe even some school board members that might be interested in inviting Catalyst to come to their high school.
Yes, actually, I am the director of outreach and communications. So my job is to, you know, reach out to different middle schools, to reach out to organizations and summer camps and all these different people and like clubs. And I like tell them, oh, we're going to come and teach. And I ask them if we can come and tell their kids, you know, teach them about all our STEM, everything that we're doing. And it's like, we really try to be a big influence for these kids. And like Aryan was saying, we try to like captivate their minds and we try to enlighten them now while they're still, you know, younger. And we try to like plant this seed into them so that they can maybe look into STEM while they're growing up and they might even like it. Even if they're not already interested, this could be an opportunity for them to like look into it and see maybe it's something they really enjoy, maybe it's something that they'll love. And it's like I've seen this happen so many times in people around me. I also was part of many clubs in middle school relating to STEM, and I subscribed to these magazines, and I was always this person looking for that. And I've seen so many of my friends, I've talked to them and said, hey, you should look into this as well. And I think me being, you know, the outreach person, I really want to like be able to connect to people on a wider scale. And It's amazing.
So what's the best way if people are looking online, looking for a way to find your group, which is a STEM group, a Catalyst, how can they find you online or on Facebook? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Yes, I'm going to just give this question to Ansh because he knows a lot about this.
Okay, so there's three ways to contact us. First would be through our website, which is www.catalystclub.tk. And from there, they can access many forms for either having a session at their school or starting a chapter or becoming a volunteer of our club. Another way is through email. We have two emails. The first is kingcatalystclub@gmail.com, and the second one is info@catalystclub.tk. And the third one is through phone. You can the phone number is just right there on our website, so you can find it.
Okay, kingcatalystclub@gmail. Mm-hmm. John, do you think that science can save the world? Do you think that...
Yep, definitely science is the main basis if like something were to happen in saving the world. That's why like in all of these like narratives and things, science is like the main focus. Scientists are like the high, like the most producing thing that can help in that problem.
You know, when I look at the movies that are out, I'm thinking there's so much science fiction out there about the possibilities of the future. And then, you know, I know that a lot of kids, especially guys, like video games. I don't know, Nisheen, do women like get video
yes,
games?
Yes, of course they do.
And there's so much science behind get video games, too, and video technology is just exploding.
I think it's, like, really smart in, like, those companies doing that because it gives them, kind of like Catalyst, a way to connect to the, like, the world and what they learn in school because you have to obviously have a basic understanding in order to understand, like, these narratives or video games. So it's really smart in doing that.
Well, we're talking with four students at King High School. They're in the IB program at King High School, and they've started a science club called Catalyst, which is dedicated to showing and explaining innovations and inventions in science and technology to middle school students. So, Aryan, how is this going at King High School at the IB program? What happens there with Catalyst?
Right, so that's actually a great question. So, many people have a misconception that we teach STEM to our high schoolers too, but rather what we use King High School is rather to recruit people to, you know, go to like the middle schools, like as we mentioned. So we have a club set up at King High School. We filed out the paperwork around last year. So what the hope is, essentially it was in its infant phases throughout all of last year, just planning of how we're going to start like finding middle schools and such. But next year, what our target is to try to get more members. So this is actually a very important thing to us, and not just King High School. So for like students across Hillsborough and actually anywhere, what one of the things we want them to do is to start chapters at their own schools. And you can contact us. And like Anj said, on our website, there is a process of doing that. And the end goal is to essentially try to reach to as many kids as we can. So yeah, so that's essentially what we do.
I mean, science really leads to good jobs, whether it's in medicine or computers or engineering or just... are all your parents involved in science? Anj, how about your parents?
So my dad's a engineer with the county and my mom's a medical coder. So what I... growing up in this like STEM-based household, I've learned to appreciate STEM, but not many kids get this opportunity. So what our goal is to increase that access to STEM for kids like that aren't even interested in STEM clubs. So by going to after-school programs and going to middle schools around the county, we can rekindle that like curiosity that we see in elementary schoolers back into those middle school students, and maybe they'll consider STEM jobs, which tend to be high-paying and better overall.
John, if there are other groups like Catalyst, other clubs like Catalyst around the country, or is this something that you and Aryan and Nusheen and Anj have really developed on your own?
Yeah, so we've actually done a lot of research on this. We're trying to find other clubs like us, because it would be a lot easier to just start a chapter if it was another club. But we couldn't find anything remotely close to what our club has been doing. All these other like STEM-related clubs are just focused on one like certain aspect, whereas Catalyst is more of a holistic thing in the STEM.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing that you all are you're rising juniors, and that you've taken on this, and you're so dedicated and professional. It's pretty amazing. And thank you for doing what you're doing. And you came down on Friday of the 13th, and you're not scared either, right? Well, is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners? And I want to give out the contact information one more time. But is there anything else that we should be telling them about Catalyst and your efforts to start the science club and make it grow here in Hillsborough County?
Right. So I just want to reiterate the same point we mentioned before, maybe add a little bit to it. So, again, one of the really big things with Catalyst coming into the next year, especially, is we need to be expanding more. We want to reach out to more kids. So there's two ways that we need to accomplish this with. So one way I already mentioned, which was essentially having more students start chapters at their own high schools. And you can please reach out to us. That's the first thing. The second thing is we need more venues to go and teach at. So one way to do this is more middle school, have access to more middle schools. So if if more people like approach us with that, we'll be able to expand our reach. And those are our two main goals, essentially.
Do you need sponsorship? Are you looking for maybe a science-oriented firm or company to help sponsor you? I know that this is kind of a shocking question. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about it ahead of time.
Yeah, absolutely. We would be open to the idea if any firm is out there that's willing to, they agree with our message. I mean, offer it.
Adding to the point, we don't just teach at middle schools. We've actually taught at major organizations like the Girl Scouts too. Mm-hmm. So we aren't just subject to middle schools. We're open to any organization with obviously the age of middle schoolers, but we aren't just stuck on middle school.
All right, so you'll go to any group or...
Yeah, any group of children. Right. Yeah.
And a big part of that increasing access is to, if a science company were to sponsor us, a big STEM firm, that would increase our outreach even more, since we'd have a big trustable firm backing us. And another big thing about increasing this access is that we will organize the sessions completely for the school, as long as the school's okay with it. So the school has very little overhead. So if they're interested, they can contact us. We can figure something out with them. And it's going to be great.
Well, that's fantastic. How can people find out more about this science, the STEM group Catalyst?
Okay, so first is you can go to our website, www.catalystclub.tk. Or you can email us at kingcatalystclub@gmail.com. Also on that website, what you can see is the three forms which tell you either to become a volunteer, you can start a chapter at your own school. We already have the framework for that. Or you can request a session at your school. And you can also see what we've done so far at either Turner Bartels or other middle schools and the Girl Scouts. And if you want to just contact us, we can figure something out.
All right. Well, it's great to have you all here. That's Anj Bhatt. We've also heard from John Karthaka, Nusheen Iman, and Aryan Sharma. Thank you so much for coming by WMNF. Great to see you. It's really inspiring to hear all the work that you've done.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Tomorrow, one of the branches of March for Our Lives will be in Tampa. And yesterday, I spoke with Tia Amoy Roberts. She was one of the Parkland students who was in the Bay Area yesterday for a rally against gun violence in Williams Park in downtown St. Petersburg. And I spoke with her about what she's doing on the March for Lives for Our Lives tour around the country.
So we're just going around, meeting with the students in the area, really getting to know them, getting to know what they've been doing in the community, and what we could possibly do for them, you know, things that they want to plan in the future. And we're also really focusing on voter registration. We're really getting out and canvassing and registering people to vote, and that's been pretty successful as well.
How has it been going? Have you signed up many people who are 17 or 18 for the elections this fall?
I believe we have, yes. Yeah, it's going great. We're registering a lot of people to vote. We actually registered quite a few people to vote at the event we were just at today.
There's going to be another event in Tampa, I understand, on Saturday, right?
Yes, there's going to be a block party. We're going to have some food, some entertainment, voter registration, obviously. Just really getting young people out here, giving them an incentive to be involved in their community as well as get registered to vote.
Tia, how big is this effort? How many cities have you been to since Valentine's Day, since February 14th? How many cities have you visited?
Like nationally or just Florida?
Yeah, nationally and Florida.
I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even count. We've been to so many different communities, so many. And we're working our way through Florida, but we've been all over the country. We've been to Chicago, you know, Houston, Texas, New York, everywhere.
And when you talk to your fellow and your sister high school students across the country, what kind of things are they telling you about their willingness to engage and to get involved in activism?
Oh, they're so willing and so ready. And a lot of young people, you know, people our age have been doing this work before what happened to us, especially in like urban communities like Chicago and like even like Liberty City down in Miami. A lot of people have been doing this awesome work, like, way before we got involved in it and have been successful.
So
they're very, very engaged in the community.
Are you finding, what do people want to see done about guns, do you think?
I think more than anything, all people want is for people to be safe. Like, I'm sure if there was anything that would allude to us being completely safe from gun violence without having to, like, do any gun regulations, of course we would do that. We want people to be happy and have their hobbies, but there's no way that we could possibly be safe and be free from gun violence if people who are domestic abusers or people who have a history of mental illness or a threat to themselves and others have access to these dangerous weapons. It's almost common sense, at least to everyone that we talk to, as well as ourselves, that there needs to be some kind of regulation on weapons or else we're still in danger.
Before this, the NRA seemed to win everything. I mean, the NRA is very powerful in Washington. It's powerful in our state capital in Tallahassee. What's your sense of the NRA's power or the gun lobby's power today?
Well, you know, everything seems to be about money. And that's just what we're trying to counteract. You know, whoever is trying to give big money to sway politicians does not have our support. So and that's the NRA included.
But it's bigger than the NRA then. It's all big money that you don't like.
Yeah, we don't support that. We support politicians that have our best interests at heart simply because they're good people who want to keep us safe.
All right. Well, Tia, thank you so much for coming on MNF. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about? You know, you've been to all these cities. A terrible thing happened to you and your friends on February 14th. But is there anything else that you want to tell us that you'd like the public to know?
I'd like everyone to know that their voice matters and their vote matters. So please register and actually get out and vote in your primaries and the midterms in November.
Well, that was one of the Parkland students, Tia Amoy Roberts, and she was in the Bay Area yesterday for a rally against gun violence that took place in Williams Park in St. Petersburg, and she'll be back in Tampa tomorrow as part of the Road to Change Town Hall,
March for Our Lives tour. She'll be taking part in a student panel at the Marshall Center at 6 p.m. on the USF Tampa campus. That's 6 p.m. tomorrow. March for Our Lives people at the Marshall Center on the USF campus. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. Yesterday, it was a congressional hearing that devolved into a shouting match. An embattled FBI agent whose anti-Trump text messages exposed the Justice Department to claims of bias vigorously defended himself at a chaotic 10-hour hearing. Peter Strzok yesterday testified publicly for the first time since being removed from special counsel Robert Mueller's team following the discovery of texts last year traded with an FBI lawyer in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election. He insisted he never allowed personal opinions to affect his work, though he did acknowledge being dismayed by Donald Trump's behavior during the campaign. He also said he never contemplated leaking damaging information that he knew about the Trump campaign. And he said that information was never leaked. We're going to listen to some of the highlights of the testimony yesterday. You know, back in 1973, I can remember watching the Watergate hearings and thinking, this is really a fine moment in American history. And then I watched a good number of hours of the hearings yesterday, and I think that the hearings yesterday were far, far, far from the Watergate hearings. But I want to get your take on it, and we're going to open up the phone lines in a moment. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here are some of the highlights from the Peter Strzok testimony yesterday at a joint committee of the House Oversight Committee and the House Judicial Committee in Washington, D.C.
I testify today with significant regret, recognizing that my texts have created confusion and caused pain for people I love. Not once in my 26 years of defending our nation did my personal opinions impact any official action I took.
Between July 31st and August 8th, how many interviews did you conduct related to the alleged collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign?
Congressman, as you know, counsel for the FBI, based on the special counsel's equities, has instructed me not to answer questions about the ongoing investigation.
I'm asking for a number.
Russian attempts to interfere.
You are under subpoena and are required to answer the question. Are you objecting to the question? If so, please state your objection.
Mr. Chairman, I object.
I do not believe I am here under subpoena. I believe I am here voluntarily.
Chairman,
will you answer the committee's question as directed, or do you refuse to answer the committee's question?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
Second.
You're not recognized for that purpose, and you will be subject to recall to allow the committee to consider proceeding with a contempt citation.
Your testimony is Bob Mueller did not kick you off because of the content of your text. He kicked you off because of some appearance that he was worried about.
Sure. I'm stating to you it is not my understanding that he kicked me off because of any bias, that it was done based on the appearance. If you want to represent what you said accurately, I'm happy to answer that question, but I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed.
I don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. I don't appreciate having an FBI agent with an unprecedented level of animus working on two major investigations during 2016.
To suggest somehow that we can parse down the words of shorthand textual conversations like there's some contract for a car is simply not consistent with my or most people's use of text messaging. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. And the proposition that that is going on, that it might occur anywhere in the FBI, deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive.
I'm going to just go to a date and then ask you to read your own words. March 4th, 2016.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. OMG, he's an idiot.
October 20th, 2016.
I can't pull away what the, and I defer to the chairman whether
you can
or not
just use
like
one letter if you don't mind.
Why the F, what the F happened to our country, Lease?
Okay, read it again that way.
Sir, did you not, was no, it not intelligible? You just
want to
hear it for me to repeat it.
Please.
Okay, sir. Sure. Happy to indulge you.
You have come in here and said, I had no bias. And you do it with a straight face. And I watched you in the private testimony you gave. And I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying. And he could probably pass a polygraph.
Point.
It's amazing.
Mr. Chairman.
Now, this is my
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Point of order.
Yeah, the gentleman,
it's my time.
That's a disgrace.
Gentleman from Rhode Island will suspend.
No, the disgrace
Mr.
is what this man has done.
The gentleman
to our
from
justice.
Texas will suspend for a
there
moment.
There is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice system. And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness
shame
is always
on you,
an
Mr.
issue.
Mr. Chairman,
this is intolerable harassment of the witness.
What is wrong with that? You need your medication.
I have always told the truth. The fact that you would accuse me otherwise, the fact that you would question whether or not that was the sort of look I would engage with in a family member who I have acknowledged hurting goes more to a discussion about your character and what you stand for and what is going inside you.
It's to your credibility, and you lost your credibility.
Both individuals.
You lost your credibility.
While I doubt it plays well to America, I'm not sure it plays well.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend.
This hearing is a kangaroo court. It is a three-ring circus.
You've been out of control since you've been on this committee. Why don't you leave it alone? This is not Benghazi.
I cannot express to you my love of the FBI enough. The men and women who make up that workforce, their ethics, their integrity are unmatched anywhere in the world. And I think that's important, one, because it is who we are. Two, that none of them would accept any of the behaviors that are being alleged any more than I would accept it in him. And three, this entire exercise comes at a cost. We are doing things that are going to, in the future, tear down the underpinnings of what represent law and order in this country.
Some of the excerpts from yesterday's testimony by FBI agent Peter Strzok, who was testifying to a joint House committee yesterday about his texts between him and his lover. So, what did we learn from yesterday's hearings? Who won? What was the purpose of those hearings? And compared to the Watergate hearings, what did you think of yesterday's hearings? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And we're going to listen to a contentious moment right at the start of the hearings where the chairman of the committee, a Republican, Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, was talking with Peter Strzok and telling him about what his testimony should be.
Take back over your time in this fire way.
Knowing this, will you answer the committee's question as directed, or do you refuse to answer the committee's question?
Mr. Chairman, as you know, counsel for the FBI has directed me not to answer questions about the ongoing investigation. As you also know, counsel for the FBI is sitting here behind me. May I consult with them?
You may consult with your own counsel.
I may not consult with the FBI's counsel?
Only with your own counsel.
Mr. Chairman, there's no basis for that. He can consult with the FBI counsel. He's an FBI employee.
The gentleman is not recognized.
And the chairman is not being proper.
The chairman is being proper.
The witness can't be directed not to confer with his attorney.
The FBI is not his attorney. His attorney is seated behind him. If he wishes,
he's an employee of the FBI.
He's already done. He may do so.
And his attorney may consult with the FBI attorney?
Isn't the privilege that of the FBI, and shouldn't the FBI counsel be solicited on that point?
You just take that over right now. Let's just get this out.
Mr. Chairman, my counsel has reiterated that counsel for the FBI has directed that I may not answer that question.
Mr. Strzok, In a moment, we will continue with the hearing, but based on your refusal to answer the question, at the conclusion of the day, we will be recessing the hearing, and you will be subject to recall to allow the committee to consider proceeding with a contempt citation.
A point of order, Mr. Chairman. Will the committee also consider contempt for Mr. Bannon, who refused to answer Mr. Gowdy's questions when he was actually under subpoena?
That is not a proper point of order.
Well, that was a contentious start of the hearings yesterday featuring Peter Strzok, the FBI agent. What did you think? What did we learn from the hearings? Who won? What was the purpose of the hearings? Were those hearings fair yesterday? And how would you compare them to the Watergate hearings of 1973? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Here's another contentious moment featuring Texas Republican Louie Gohmert asking Strzok some questions.
I watched you in the private testimony you gave, and I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying, and he could probably pass a polygraph.
Point.
It's amazing.
Mr. Chairman.
No, this is my
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
It needs point to be of order. Paused.
This point of order.
No.
The general state is point of order.
A member of this committee just asserted that this witness, who is under oath and a former agent of the FBI, lied. There is no evidence that. I ask him to withdraw it.
I do not withdraw it. He is not a member of Congress. It's not a violation of the rule. And just as you have been expressing bias through your members about what a hero
there is, not a single person on this committee who has ever characterized a witness.
Gentleman from Rhode Island. Gentleman,
it's my time.
That's a disgrace.
Gentleman from Rhode Island will suspend
him. No, the disgrace.
Mr.
What this man has done.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend for a moment.
There is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice system. And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
Credibility. Witness,
shame
is always
on
an issue.
Mr. Chairman, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is intolerable harassment of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
The gentleman.
Our phone number, 813-239-9663, is another part of the testimony yesterday at the Strzok hearing. And let's go to Jerry in Sarasota. Jerry, what did you think of those hearings?
Oh, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. That's good entertainment. I compared to, and I do remember the Watergate. Oh, it's comparable. You know, it's politics. It's just the way it is, Rob. And one thing I can say about that FBI guy, he's put himself in a bad situation with really bad judgment. So he's getting what he deserves, and I don't know what the outcome will be. But
you think any charges will be filed against him?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that happens to people like this is obstruction of justice. Let's not forget that's what happened to Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon didn't even know about the Watergate affair until after it happened, and he didn't think it was a big deal. And that's how we got him in trouble, because he obstructed justice. Now, if this guy's obstructing justice, and you don't know if he is, and I don't know if he is, and if it gets down to the brass tacks where they find out, yeah, he could. He could, because if you or I lie to the FBI, we're obstructing justice. So
All right. Be
really careful. We know this. We know he's been lying, at least to some people in his life. So,
all right. Well, Jerry, let's put it on the calendar. You think he's going to be charges are going to be brought against him? Let's put it on the calendar and see if that happens. Okay.
Hey, if he was lying, and you don't know, and I don't.
No, we don't know. But you're saying he is, and let's put it on the calendar. Jerry says that charges will be brought against him. Let's see, 813-239-9663. Gail is in Crystal Beach. Hi, Gail. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, what a travesty. What a joke. I don't know if you've seen Mark Felt, how he brought down the White House.
Deep Throat. I have not seen the film. I hear the film was really good.
I was amazed. This man was such a dedicated servant of the FBI. And it's another three-ring circus by the Republicans. And let's just get Trump out of here.
All right.
It's crazy.
Gail, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views.
Thank you. Great. Have a good day.
You too. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to another segment of the hearings yesterday. This is, again, the chairman, Bob Goodlatte, and Peter Strzok, the FBI agent.
Giving him that opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, may I respond to...
Yes, you may.
Yes, I got it. Sir, I think it's important when you look at those texts that you understand the context in which they were made and the things that were going on across America. In terms of the text that we will stop it, you need to understand that that was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate. So I take great offense and I take great disagreement to your assertion of what that was or wasn't. As to the 100 million to one, that was clearly a statement made in jest and using hyperbole. I, of course, recognize that millions of Americans were likely to vote for candidate Trump. I acknowledge that is absolutely their right. That is what makes our democracy such a vibrant process that it is. But to suggest somehow that we can parse down the words of shorthand textual conversations like there's some contract for a car is simply not consistent with my or most people's use of text messaging. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of these texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. Furthermore, this isn't just me sitting here telling you. You don't have to take my word for it. At every step, at every investigative decision, there are multiple layers of people above me, the assistant director, executive assistant director, deputy director, and director of the FBI, and multiple layers of people below me, section chiefs, supervisors, chiefs, case agents, and analysts, all of whom were involved in all of these decisions. They would not tolerate any improper behavior in me any more than I would tolerate it in them. That is who we are as the FBI. And the suggestion that I, in some dark chamber somewhere in the FBI, would somehow cast aside all of these procedures, all of these safeguards, and somehow be able to do this is astounding to me. It simply couldn't happen. And the proposition that that is going on, that it might occur anywhere in the FBI, deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive.
The FBI agent Peter Strzok answering a question from the chairman of the committee, Bob Goodlatte, yesterday. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Bill in Pinellas Park writes, don't the members of Congress make you so proud to be an American? Can the reputation of our country sink much lower? I cannot be more ashamed, writes Bill, who's out there in Pinellas Park. And then Rick writes this, ouch, regarding the comment about smirk. Besides being an embarrassment to the world, a seasoned FBI agent knows this line of attack is just for the sake of attacking in an attempt to rattle. This is an FBI agent. I'd like to think that he's laughing on the inside as he considers these guys child play. These guys are not in his league. This was an obvious, capricious, and arbitrary attack and only plays as theater, albeit compelling, if not downright embarrassing, writes Rick. So I'm asking you, what did we learn from yesterday's hearings? Who won? What was the purpose of the hearings compared to the Watergate hearings? How do you think those hearings went yesterday? Were the hearings fair? Was Strzok given a chance to answer the questions? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jesse in St. Petersburg. Hi, Jesse. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Yeah, I agree with the last guy. It was shameful behavior by the Republicans, and I agree that you know, it's transparent what's going on here. They're traitors. They're trying to obstruct justice on behalf of a hostile foreign power. That's all that's going on.
You think Putin was a winner yesterday?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's who they're acting on behalf of. I mean, I think that's pretty clear.
All right,
and I agree that the FBI agent, he gave back as good as you can. I mean, he doesn't have much choice but to sit there and be berated by those guys.
but he gave it back to him, and obviously he made them look like a bunch of fools, which they pretty clearly are.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Thanks for the call. Great to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's go to Betty in Sarasota. Betty, what did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Oh, my God. I totally agree with what your last caller just said. It is just insane. These people are despicable. And I, what Strzok just said to them, berating them back, was brilliant. He was totally on point, so eloquent, so passionate, and anybody who tries to denigrate him has to be the most corrupt official on the planet Earth. Again, this is what I call a witch hunt.
you think our first caller, Jerry, thought that there were going to be charges filed against the FBI agent, Peter Strzok. What do you think about Jerry's prediction?
I'd be shocked if there were. I don't think that, you know, if anybody chimes in their personal emails or texts, that's one thing. If they truly obstruct justice, which there's no way that they're going to be able to find that he obstructed justice on any level, how can you level charges at anybody who hasn't obstructed justice or done anything other than air a personal opinion? He was not, you know, like James Comey. That may have been something else. But, you know, for somebody who's an official at his level, I don't think it's plausible. I don't think it's even possible. So I'm hoping that they don't find anything on which to do it. And I think there would be a revolt, personally.
All right, Betty, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. All right, we're taking a lot of opinions about the hearings yesterday. Elio writes this. He says, did I hear your caller Jerry right when he tried to intimate that Nixon was innocent? If that's the case, no wonder Trump has the support he does. All the low IQ people are in Trump's camp, writes Elio. 813-239-9663. Ron in West Tampa says, wow, Joseph McCarthy is alive and well based on what I'm hearing from the Strzok hearing. Typical right-wing firebrands. Why didn't Trump get this while promising to release his taxes and then lying about it? Why didn't Karl Rove get indicted for outing Valerie Plame or ignoring a subpoena back in the day? This is strong-arming in the age of Trump, frightening intimidation tactics, Ron in West Tampa. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you could have hearings about. Were these emails the most important thing to have hearings about? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Scott in St. Pete. Hi, Scott. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, you know, I keep kind of hearing the same clips, and it was a little disheartening. But, you know, it was the same thing with Adam Benghazi hearings. Kind of the same people being a little outrageous. I just think it's kind of a shame that happens. You know, my big concern is what's going to happen in the future. You know, I really think the Democrats will take over the House, and then are they going to act the same way? You know, they really need to try and get our country going in the right direction and don't be petty and get back at people. And, you know, I just find it disheartening, you know, for our country.
Yeah, so you think when the Democrats, if the Democrats, it's not certain the Democrats are going to win either
right
this year or in 2020, but you think if they're going to get back in power that they'll act as just as the Republicans have done?
Unfortunately, it seems to go that way. You know, unless we really get some new people in there that don't hold grudges, you know, and then maybe they'll act a little differently.
You know, Scott, I kept waiting for the hearings into why the U.S. invaded Iraq. I mean, when the Democrats got in power for a short time, I kept waiting for those hearings to happen, and they never happened. So, you know, sometimes I think the Republicans play one game and the Democrats play another game.
Right, like somebody had commented, I was watching on TV, you know, we have hearings on this. Why don't we have hearings on gun control? You know, they don't allow that to happen, and people voice their opinion. You know, it's not going to get them political favor.
Yeah, you could almost say how many people were killed by Strzok's emails and how many people are killed by guns. Scott, thanks
exactly
a lot. Yeah,
you bet.
Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Tina in Tampa. Hi, Tina. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, I think what I heard was just a lot of, other than the shouting match, it seems to me that the Republicans were pretty desperate to try to prove somehow or to try to demonstrate that this FBI agent was biased by constantly repeating, you know, the hammering away at his text, they must be pretty concerned about what the Mueller investigation is going to show, because I think that they're desperate and grabbing at straws to, you know, like say, oh, look, they're biased. So, in other words, to discredit the Mueller investigation. We haven't heard, you know, from him in a while. I don't mean that we hear from him, but, you know, when he does things, when he subpoenas things. But, you know, the last thing, Michael Cohen starting to change his tune and talk about his family. I mean, you know, we don't know if he's going to come out with an obstruction of justice charge against President Trump. He may well do that. That would be pretty serious, pretty significant. In the hearings that we heard, there was just a lot of shouting and, like someone said, a lot of theater. I agree with that. I don't think that there was a point to it other than to try and, you know, in the court of public opinion, say, oh, look, he's biased, so we can't really take what they say seriously. Because other than that, nothing came out of it other than to embarrass themselves.
All right.
And no, I don't hear Democrats doing that when the shoe is on the other foot.
All right, Tina, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. We're getting a lot of interesting phone calls today. If you want to agree or disagree with something you've heard, you can call us up, 813-239-9663, asking you, what about those Strzok hearings yesterday? Were they fair? What did we learn? Who won? What was the purpose? And compare them to the Watergate hearings. Let's go to Kathleen in Largo. Kathleen, you're on. What'd you think?
Hi, Rob. Well, I thought several things happened yesterday. The most important was when Strzok was able to elaborate on why the Russia investigation was so important and the danger to our democracy. I thought that was a very powerful statement, and I thought it was sweeping. The most entertaining thing that happened during the hearing was when Daryl Issa asked him to read his, his statements that he'd made in his emails, and it was hilarious because I had to start laughing, and I thought I wish everyone could watch this because it's what everyone was thinking and saying to their friends when they were watching the outrageous behavior of Donald Trump. And you know, lastly, I really thought that it showed the Republicans' animus towards any institution that would dare to challenge Donald Trump when they wouldn't allow him to answer questions. Or at the very end of their statements, they would say, I have no questions, it's just a statement. So he was not allowed to respond. The opinions of the chair from Mr. Goodlatte were totally out of line with any kind of rule of order.
Yeah, can you imagine Sam Ervin of Watergate fame, the senator ran the senator from North Carolina who ran the Watergate hearings? Can you imagine him doing what Goodlatte did yesterday?
No, you couldn't. And the difference is, and we need to focus on this clearly, is that Sam Ervin was investigating wrongdoing. That is what Robert Mueller is doing. He is investigating wrongdoing. That is the definition of criminal. It is wrongdoing. And what they were doing is trying to slander and defame the FBI and this agent. And, Rob, that's what they're doing in all of these things. I watched all 10 hours of the Benghazi hearings, and it was a huge nothing burger.
Nothing came out of it, yeah.
Nothing, nothing. And do you remember the exchange between Hillary Clinton and the congresswoman at the end, the Republican congresswoman, when Hillary Clinton said that she went home from the night of the Benghazi thing, and she had Indian food and then went to bed at her home and was awakened, and the congresswoman said, were you alone? And Hillary Clinton chuckled, and she said, of course I was alone. And the Republican woman said, this is not a comedy. Yeah. You know, it's like the question of were you alone was very serious.
Yeah.
Like, who was spending the night with you, Hillary?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like it doesn't end. And, you know, the cheapness of it. That's the saddest part about it. You know, Daryl Issa was, that was a moment of levity for me.
Yeah,
but the way they have cheapened congressional inquiry and will not have congressional inquiry into true wrongdoing. And it's like, I want to know who came up with this zero tolerance policy and who implemented this tearing infants away from their mothers, and why those people can't, when they can't fulfill a court order, can't be put in jail.
That's a good question that we're not going to hear about. We're not going to get those hearings. Why are kids being separated from their families?
Who instituted this policy, and who said that anyone seeking refuge in the United States is breaking the law?
Which is not true, yeah.
It is not true.
We have a long history of giving amnesty to people that apply.
We do, and we welcome them, and we give them a hearing.
All right, Kathleen, thanks a lot. You made some great points. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Rob.
All right.
I love your show.
Thank you for saying that. Let's go to Tony in Tampa. Tony, you're on. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, I don't believe a word the guy said, but I would like to keep him working for the government, send him as a spy somewhere, because he's very good. He's trained to deal with all this kind of arrogant old man and all kinds of attitudes. He ate their lunch, but I don't believe what he said. The guy obviously he thought, I don't know if he thought that nobody would find out about this, but he sure messed up there. But last night, yesterday, that was a big show he gave.
Okay, all right, Tony, thanks a lot. You know, he is one of the country's top spy catchers, and he has quite a history. The Wall Street Journal had a really long article about him the other day, and this guy Strzok has quite a history, which I didn't watch all the hearings yesterday. I might have watched a third of them, but I don't remember a moment where his pretty amazing resume was explored, and I was waiting for somebody to talk about his resume because he's got quite a resume. Tony, thanks a lot. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what'd you think of the hearings yesterday?
Good morning, Rob. Well, I thought when Strzok with Louis Gohmert from Texas went real low and into his thing with looking into his wife's eyes when he was cheating on, that was typical. And it's also not a good idea for these Republicans to get into infidelity on their part. I don't think that would be a wise choice. Also, Sean Hannity describing him as narcissistic, smug, and arrogant. And I'm thinking to myself, what about Donald Trump? What about you? What about Tucker Carlson? What about Laura Ingraham? And they talk about smirks on their face.
Did he say that? Did he say that when Oliver North was on the stand a few years ago? Did Hannity say that Oliver North was smug and arrogant? Because that's how I felt about Oliver North.
I know he sure didn't, did he? He did when Oliver North would sit there in his uniform, there's that line to Congress. You know, I tell you what, you know, and by the way, Rob, today thousands of protesters in London with signs like, we hate you, nobody likes you, you know, and then he has the gall to sit there and say that the interview that he gave in the Sun, which was owned, the newspaper owned by Rupert Murdoch, saying that, you know, that Theresa May, you know, that that Boris Johnson should replace her as prime minister. Now he's saying that was all fake news, and it's recorded. It's recorded.
Well, you know, Daniel Ruth may bring this up on the next show. I thought the same thing. How could the president lie so quickly during that press conference? Now, I want to hear the tape back. I haven't had time to
grab.
But boy, Danny, I think you're onto something. Is that the president just lied blatantly about an interview that he gave to the Sun newspaper? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Danny, thanks a lot. All right, have a great weekend. James writes this, McConnell, Ryan, and Trump have done so much damage, it will take decades to correct, and it may never happen, writes James. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Victoria in Sarasota. Hi, Victoria. What did you think of the hearings yesterday?
Well, I think if there was an actual case to be had, then it would have been a substantive discussion. The evidence to me that there isn't a case there is the level of personal attacks. You don't attack somebody personally if they've done something professionally wrong, and you have evidence to that. They just would have prosecuted the proper case. I think the losers are really the American people, because our Congress has advocated all responsibility for governance. They have provided no check on presidential powers. They have just completely abdicated their role, and it's the people that are losing.
Well, Victoria, I think you summed it up really well. I think those are really good points, that you don't attack somebody on a personal basis if you've got the goods on them.
I think that's
a brilliant analysis. Thanks for making it.
Thank you.
Okay, great to hear from you. Edward writes this, the Democrats need to ask the Republicans to bring those large numbers of FBI agents who know he's a scoundrel in the midst of the FBI-sponsored criminal behavior into the rooms to let all the people hear from these agents. Yeah, I'd like to hear from more FBI agents about whether or not they think that Strzok is a bad guy. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Daniel Ruth. He's coming up next on the Midpoint program, and he's going to explain to you what only he and I know about old frothing slosh. He knows what it is, and he's going to tell you because it's up in his column today. This is WMNF.